perseverance in the faith, of enduring in the faith, is something that we speak of almost in a bad light. But let's think about it this way. We're a Presbyterian church, right? And we are Calvinists in our theology. We believe in what we call the doctrines of grace. And for our brothers and sisters coming from a Dutch Reform background, hi, there are many of you here today. These are things that are talked about in one of the confessional standards of the Reformed churches, the canons of Dort, which was a synod that was called several years ago, 100 years ago rather, to deal with a number of questions that were coming up at the time about how the sovereignty of God relates to our faith. And one of the declarations that was made by the synod had to do with what was called the perseverance of the saints. It's the P in TULIP, our acrostic for those doctrines of grace, those 5 points that synod was talking about. And in talking about the perseverance of the saints, we're talking about this idea that when God grants us faith, when he turns our hearts that are stony and cold and opposed to him and love our own sin and want nothing to do with him, when he reaches in and touches our hearts and makes them alive, hearts of flesh, makes them want to believe in Jesus, that then he gives us faith so that now we believe in Jesus Christ. And that when he has done that, he will see that process through from the beginning stages of changing our hearts, changing our desires, granting us faith. He will see that process through to the day that we die. That we will persevere in the faith, but ultimately we persevere in the faith because God preserves us in the faith. He who began a good work in you will see it through to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Now, that's not to say that we are uninvolved in our perseverance, in this endurance, okay? God has given us means. He's given us assurances, things that he's given to us as gifts that are meant to encourage our faith, okay? That are meant to preserve it, that are meant to strengthen it and feed it, nourish it. He's given us the Word of God that we can read, that we can hear preached and applied and explained in our churches. He's given us prayer that we can go to him whenever we want. I mean, we do it corporately here each Sunday, but we can go to him whenever we want. Speak to our Heavenly Father. Bring our prayers and our hurts and our concerns and our desires to him. Trust him that he's good and that he will do what is right. He's given us the sacraments, which we are not celebrating this morning, but he's given us baptism to remind us of the washing of regeneration, and he's given us the Lord's Supper, where the bread that we break is a participation in the body of Christ. The blood, the cup that we bless is a participation in the blood of Christ. He's given us all these things. We call them means of grace. He's given us each other, that we exist in a community where we get to pray for each other and encourage each other and correct each other and love each other. He's given us all these things to nourish that faith that he will see through to the end of our lives. But he's given us these things that we can endure, that we can persevere. They're gifts of him to us. And we can think of this endurance as a bad thing, you know, that we're trying just our hardest to cling to faith for as long as we possibly can throughout our lives, but it's just not what it is. It's God's grace to us through our lives. And the promise that's given here in Revelation is that for those who have this faith in Jesus, that God walks through this life, that on the other side of that is this blessing of rest from our labors. Is that the struggle ends. This being difficult ends. The fact that we find it hard, it ends. Because we find rest at the welcome of God into heaven. And before we talk in particular about this idea of resting from our labors, I want to mention just one more thing. That at the end of this blessing, at the end of this benediction, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Okay? This is the kind of the second part of this, is that their deeds follow them. And when I hear things like that, that at the end of my life, that my deeds are going to follow me, that worries me. And hearing a few chuckles, I'm guessing I'm not the only one. Okay? The idea that the things that I do are going to follow me from this life into the next, I mean, I know what I'm like, and I know the things that I do, and I know that a good deal of the deeds that I do in this life, I would prefer that they stay on this side. But what's meant by this is not something that should frighten us, is not something that should make us worried. In Hebrews chapter 12, the author writes about the kind of deeds, the kind of things that we need in order to see the Lord, okay? That we are justified by our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, that his blood covers us and we are forgiven for our sins. And because of that, we can be justified, we can be declared not righteous, we can be declared not guilty in God's sight, declared righteous in God's sight, and welcomed into heaven on the basis of Jesus Christ and Him alone, okay? But there can be no sin in God's presence. And so in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, the author says, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Okay? And then Revelation speaks about our deeds following us. The idea is this. That when we believe in Jesus in this life, that God gives us the Holy Spirit, right? We believe that. That faith always comes by the Holy Spirit. But that the Holy Spirit isn't just with us for believing at the beginning. The Holy Spirit is with us throughout our entire lives. And part of what the Holy Spirit does is make us holy, okay? It never happens completely in this life. We are all a mess, and we will still be a mess to a certain degree on the day we die, no matter how old we live to be. Okay? But nonetheless, through this life, from faith until the day that we die, the Holy Spirit is working in us to make us more like Jesus. Right? The fruit of the Spirit is described in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. In this life, we experience a mixed bag of recurring sin and holiness from the Holy Spirit. Okay? He does really do that in us. But in heaven, there is no sin. All of the bad stuff in that mixed bag, it can't follow us into heaven because there is no sin, there is no impurity in God's presence. And so what follows us from this life into the next is all of the spirit-wrought stuff that God has done inside of us. all of the love and joy and peace and the rest of it that he has, that the Holy Spirit has done inside of us, that has shown up in our lives, that is what follows us from this life into the next. When I read, and their deeds follow them, I get worried because I know all about my sin, right? But here's the thing. God knows about my sin too. And so he's done what is necessary to deal with it, to have it covered and done away with, and then to work inside of me and inside of you that which is good and lovely and beautiful and pleasing to him. And even the holiness that we get in this life is imperfect, okay? But on the other side of death, as we enter into the presence of the Lord, it's perfected in us. And it's that which the Spirit has done in us that follows us through. And imagine this, a life forever in the presence of the Lord, which is good enough on its own, surrounded by others whose faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, surrounded by the others that we know from this life that believe in the Lord Jesus. And all that we have in our characters, in our dispositions, and the way that we love and deal with each other is the Spirit-wrought stuff that's meant to be here in this life and is there perfectly in the next life. That we walk from this life into the next, and that our eternity is in the presence of Jesus with perfect love and joy and peace and patience and the rest of it for each of us. I mean, what an incredible thought. And that's why we can say, blessed are those from now on who die in the Lord. Because, and this is the last thing, because they will rest from their labors. We spend a good deal of this life in difficulty. Even when we're doing good things, we spend a lot of this life in difficulty. We live in a time and place where our lives have more ease in them than most do through the rest of the world, okay? And that's a blessing from the Lord. But even so, our lives are still filled with sin, with misery, with sadness and grief much of the time. The idea that that gets to be over, that that gets to stop, that our suffering is just for a little while, that the sufferings and difficulties of this present age are not worth comparing with the glory that is to come. That is a comforting thought. That those who die in the Lord find rest from their labors. And because that sin clings to us through a lot of this life, we spend a good deal of this life, even when we believe the gospel, even when we know that Jesus Christ has redeemed us and has done everything that is necessary for our justification, we spend a good deal of time worrying about whether we're good enough, don't we? We spend a good deal of time trying to prove that we deserve heaven, that forgiveness is easier for us than it is for the other people that sin differently than I do. Again, in Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 8, speaking about the rest that had been promised to the Israelites, that Joshua was supposed to give them but never quite came when the people entered the promised land, that was signified to them in their Sabbath, says this, "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his." Now think about this. to enter God's rest, resting from our labors, as Revelation puts it, entering God's rest, as Hebrews does, is to rest from our works. The idea is this, that to enter into God's presence, to have all of that sin removed, to see Jesus face to face, is to fully trust in Christ as the source of our rest. It's to stop worrying about whether we're good enough. It's to stop trying to prove ourselves. It's to stop, no matter as we believe differently, is to stop trying to make ourselves good enough in order to be accepted into God's presence, to behold Jesus face to face, to see him for true, for who he truly is. Is to know that he is good enough and to find rest knowing that we are his. In heaven, we stop worrying about our status. We stop trying to make ourselves good enough. There is no doubt about God's love because we see the proof of it right in front of us. The thing that we only know by faith right now, the Lord Jesus Christ, we see him face to face. And we can rest. So as people who live now, who are not dead in the Lord just yet, this is where our faith needs to be. To believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has done everything necessary to forgive us for our sins, to trust in him, to want to follow after him, to make use of those means that he's given us for our perseverance, and he will preserve us in it. He will see us through. And there is this too. As we grieve the loss of Denise, and make no mistake, it is a loss for this community. I don't know how many people I've heard speak this week about the way that she loved them, encouraged them when they needed it, prayed for them, spoke wisdom into their life. She was a sinner in need of Jesus Christ, and she knew him and found that forgiveness. She was a beautiful and godly woman too. It hurts for this church not to have her. But we can know this. There is comfort in this, that she rests from her labors. That the godly and holy and beautiful things that we know about her, we know to be true, that they follow her. That she is with her Lord forever. There is comfort in knowing that she is at rest and that that same rest awaits each one whose faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, you are the God of all comfort. Grant that comfort to us now. In Jesus' name, amen.